Father, we love you. We thank you so much for who you are to us and what you do for us. Now we come before you, Lord, and we acknowledge you in our presence. We willingly submit to the authority of your word. We ask that you would speak to us today. Your word, Lord, would bring forth fruit in our lives. And I pray for myself that you'd help me to communicate it as simply as possible, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Expressions of love. Why love? My text this morning is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through to 21. I'm going to call Heston, who's going to be my reader this morning. Thanks. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through to 21.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love, does not love God, does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his own Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. In this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also.
Thank you, Heston. This time of the year, with Easter fast approaching, my thoughts often go or are reflective of God's love towards me. And I'm sure you are also reflecting on how much God has loved you, because he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay our penalty. Wasn't it right? Last week, we had a great time celebrating Rosalind's 30th year in service, a truly amazing feat. And I spoke about the value of serving God, our service to God, and how God views it. Not so much the prominence of our role, but rather being obedient in all we do as he leads us. That was the key of the message. Anyway, today I want to speak on expressions of love, more so between believers, and its importance in the eyes of God. 1 John 4, 7 to 21 is what we just read. And there are two basic yet extremely important activities in our lives, or in the lives of every maturing Christian. And this is the test we can apply to our lives to see or how we are tracking in this aspect of God's importance, and that is love for one another. If you want to know how you are tracking in your maturity with Christ, the first thing that you will do, and this can be the driving force in our lives, is that you will actively or relentlessly pursue the truth. Why? Because that pleases God. When we pursue the truth, we grow, not by just reading it, but also willingly submitting to the authority of the Word of God, which is truth. And as we follow, as He leads us, and as we obey, that begins the process of maturity in our lives. We have to be a doer of the Word, and not just a listener or a reader in that aspect. Is it going to be easy? Of course not. But a maturing Christian will relentlessly pursue truth. And sometimes this can become a very costly exercise, as God's Word, His truth, as it begins to speak into our lives and expose those dark areas in our lives, it is costly, because what will happen is then we're given a choice whether we're going to run with it in obedience or we're just going to stick the way we are. The second activity in tracking our maturity or our progress as mature Christians is you will love others. The word implies that you will be proactive and determined to love others. Now, it may seem like a surprise to some of you here that there are times when Christians have problems with one another as well. I've been in 4 churches in my 33 years walking with the Lord, and Christians do have problems with one another as well. Some of you say, "What? I've never heard that before." It's true. Sometimes people like us who know God, those of us who are saved, been born again, and are called the children of God, have problems and difficulties in our relationship with other people. Do this exercise for me today. Keith, you'll have to just come forward or go backwards, because I want you to turn to the person on your right and say something, and then the person on the left will say something back to you. I need to do this exercise. So, you ready? Turn to the person on your right, firstly, and say this: to dwell above with saints we love. Come on, say it. To dwell above with saints we love, that will indeed be glory. Very good. Now the person on the right, turn to the left and say this to the person next to you: to live below with saints we know, to live below with saints we know, well, that's another story. These are words from a little poem, actually. I can't tell you who wrote it. I would love to acknowledge that person who wrote it, but that is true, isn't it? That is practically true. It's not always easy getting along with people. Churches today are affected by hatred, lack of love, and power struggles and hostilities, dissensions and disagreements among believers. And this can be very destructive in 3 ways. Firstly, it will damage goodwill, it will damage trust and peace, and the foundation, which is the foundation of good human relationships. Secondly, they hamper progress towards important goals of the church, which is reaching the lost and looking outward rather than looking inward. They make people self-centered rather than God and love-centered. Some people are easy to love, and they are kind, and they are considerate, they're caring, and they're friendly, and they're loving. Geez, that's a description of me. Only kidding, I can say anything I want today. Carol's not here. Carol's in Perth, actually. Her brother underwent a minor operation, and they've got 3 children under 8 years old. And his wife's got a new role in a job, and she couldn't take any time off, so they asked Carol if she would come and babysit for a couple of weeks, and because her mum's there, she took up on the opportunity, and because they also paid part of the fare, she jumped. So she's in Perth today. So I can say anything I can. without going home and say, being checked. On the other hand, there are those that it is very hard to love. They come across as self-centered and inconsiderate, difficult, unfriendly, rude, cruel, mean, unkind, uncaring, and unloving. The problem is that when we get saved, we have to learn to love these difficult people. Because when a person gets saved, it's a good thing, but they also bring with them all the baggage that they've been carrying when they were in the world. Some of them have been involved in bad relationships. Some have been hurt or wounded emotionally and spiritually. They have been deceived, they have been disappointed. So they find it difficult to love others, leave alone allowing others to love them. And I sadly admit that this happens in the church scene too. And this is broadly speaking. It doesn't specifically apply to this church. And I must say before God, and I am pleased with what I see in this church. And I'm not saying it to flatter you, but that's genuinely what I see. Keep it up, folks. The church is made up of imperfect people, of which I am one of them. If you care to see closely, you will see the words, work in progress. And the same applies to each one of us. We all are imperfect people. We are all work in progress until one day we will be like Jesus. 1 John 3:18 says this, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The New Living Translation says, dear children, let us stop just saying we love each other. Let us really show it by our actions. What John is saying here, folks, is there comes a time when talk is not enough. There comes a time when we have to move beyond our words and move into action. It's not enough to say, I love others. We must express our love through our actions. Last week, if you were here, you would remember I said, we cannot love other people without getting involved. And there comes a time that we must show people that we love them by our actions. We should be able to love one another to the end that God's love may become perfect in us or reached his designated goal in us. That's what Scripture says. Being born of God, loving God, and knowing God are unmistakably woven together. They cannot be separated. This is done to let us know that it is impossible for anyone to be saved or to know God in an intimate way and not love one another. It's just not possible. If we are genuinely saved, we will love each other genuinely. There will be times where there will be struggles, but it doesn't mean we don't love each other. So why love? I'll give you three reasons this morning on why we should express our love for one another. First point is because God is love. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. The world cannot and does not offer this kind of love that is spoken about in this passage. We use the word love to describe different types of feelings, from the way we love our pets to the way we love our spouses and family members. But the most important word in the original language is the word agape, which is a totally selfless love. This is the kind of love that will give for the benefit of others without any expectations in return. The love John is speaking about here is, how can I help others? What can I do to help others grow in Christ and mature in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? John is telling us as this kind of love we need to express for one another. Why is he saying that? The number one reason it is because it is the nature of God to love. The very nature, the very essence of God is love. Someone put it quite well and said this, love does not define God, but God defines love. If you want to know what real love is, The nature of God is love, a very special kind of love. God does not have to work at love or continue or conjure up, love. He doesn't need to see pictures of starving children or children without clothes or people struggling in general, like, you know, they show us pictures when they show us the African nation. He doesn't fall in love one day and fall out of love the next. He doesn't say, I don't love you like I used to love you, or I don't love you anymore. He does not go through these ups and downs that we humans go through, because his very nature, his very essence is love. This is important, folks. God doesn't love us because of who we are. He loves us because of who he is. Big difference there. That means God will never stop loving you. God will never stop loving you. We change. Our behaviors change. Sometimes we are good. Sometimes we are bad. If God's love depended on who we are, he might stop loving us. But since it doesn't matter on how we conduct ourselves or who we are, but who he is, he will never stop loving us. That's such a beautiful thought, isn't it? The thing that God will never change. So why love? John gives us a second reason. Because God is love, God's children are to be loving. Verse 7, it says of 1 John 4, Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Some translations say, Beloved, let us love. And John assures his readers of his love for them with this intimate title, Beloved. And then encourages them to follow his example and love others. Love for others, folks, is evidence that we are the children of God by virtue of the new birth. Listen to what John says. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. How did we get into the family of God? Well, we were born into the family of God. We were born again and we received this new nature. If you've been a Christian for a while, you can compare your life outside of Christ and how you used to love people. It was a selfish love. You loved for reasons, you love for what you could get back. And then you became a Christian and your life was transformed and your love factor changed as well. 2 Peter 1:4 says this, And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. And the Bible says that this new birth, this new experience that makes us partakers of his nature, his divine nature. It is not natural to love in this way in our flesh. We can never do it. We could maybe sustain it for a little while, but not in long terms. But when we are born again, we are partakers of a divine nature, and it makes it possible for us to love the way God loves other people. God can love other people through us because God is the source of love. This love John is talking about comes exclusively from God. And if we are genuinely born again, born of God, we will habitually love others with this agape love that we're talking about. Because God is the source of all love, and because we partake now of his divine nature, we love the way God loves. As we approach Easter, we are reminded of this great love. Jesus Christ, sent from God the Father, embodied love and demonstrated that love on Calvary. Such love does not come naturally from us humans. We are not born into it, folks. Neither can we learn it. Believers receive God's love only through the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says this, And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Love is a choice. We choose to love people. We are not just to love those who are easy to love, but we are to love those who are even difficult to love. We make a choice. And if we choose to love those difficult people, God will enable us to love people, His love through us, to love other people. It's our choice to love others and express our love through our actions. 1 John 4:8 says this, but anyone who does not love doesn't know God, for God is love. Strong words, but it's true. So my first point was God is love. My second point is God showed us by example of what true love is. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed His great love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. God wanted us to know how much He loved us. But His love is not something we can touch, smell, or fully experience or express in words. So how could God reveal how much He loved us? And we found that in verse 9. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into this world that we might live through Him. In verse 10, John says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So not only is God a God of love, but He's also a God of holiness and justice, who cannot tolerate sin or allow sin to go unpunished. God's law demanded punishment for our sin, because the law without punishment, folks, would only have been a suggestion. This is the true story of Easter. God, out of love, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as an atoning sacrifice for my sins and yours, so that the demands of God's law would be satisfied. It was a love that was visible. Verse 9 says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. God's love can always be seen. The love of God was manifested, revealed, and made known to us. And that was on Calvary. Biblical love is not a feeling, it's not an emotion. It is a decision to act, and the action can always be seen. Our love for each other in the body of Christ should be visible. It's not should be only in words, but it should be visible. There are many visible evidences of God's love for us. If we care to consider, He provides for us all our needs. We have food, we have clothing, we have a house, we have life, we have health, and every breath we breathe is a reminder of God's love towards us. It was a love that was costly. 1 John 4 and verse 9, but the B part of that verse, it says, because that God sent His Son into the world that we might live through Him. It cost Jesus His life on Calvary. Loving someone is not always going to be easy. Sometimes it could be quite difficult and sometimes costly. However, by the Holy Spirit of God living within each one of us, we can love people we don't like or we find it hard to get along with. It was a love that was purposeful. 1 John 4 and 9, verse C, part C of that verse, it says that we would live or might live through Him. The purpose of God's love for us is that we might live. Because of His great love for us, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for us so that we might love and that we might live for Him and He might live through us when it comes to loving others. Our ultimate purpose in loving others should not be that we might feel good, but that they might be blessed. Loving without any return. It is a love that is deliberate. God's love for us is deliberate and decisive. It is specific, objective. We know this because God initiated our salvation. John says, in this is love, that he loved us first. Not that we loved him, but he loved us. God took the initiative to stretch out his hand towards us. Love always takes the first initiative. We didn't come to God for love. God came to us with love. Another big difference there. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Romans 5:8 again is another text that shows God's love for us. It was deliberate. While we were yet sinners, God the Father sent Jesus Christ to die for us. Godly love loves the unlovely and unworthy. It is an exemplary love. That simply means God set us a pattern for us to follow. John says, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. The word ought to means we owe it. We owe it to God to love others. That's what it means. In a way, he sacrificed for us, we should sacrifice for one another. In Romans 13:8, it says, Paul says this, owe no one anything except to love one another. Because of this awesome example of self-sacrificing love, folks, we dare not, and I repeat, we dare not offer God ridiculous excuses. I just can't love that person. You don't know what he or she has done to me, therefore I can't love that person. Or that person is too weird, Lord, for me to love. We dare not make those excuses before God. So my first reason was God is love. My second was God demonstrated his love. And the third reason is God's abiding presence in our lives. 1 John 4:12-18, of course, we've read most of that. So we won't read it now. But verse 17 I want to highlight. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. That's what it says. Beautiful text. But we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. If anything, we all need the confidence that God's love is being perfected in our lives. If we know that God is living in us to fill us with his perfect love, this will give us the confidence that we can love one another. This will also give us the confidence in our salvation so that we will have no fear of judgment. That's what the text says. Being aware of God's love for us produces a confidence in our relationship with God. I like what Warren Wiersbe has to say about this passage of Scripture. He says this, God is love is not simply a doctrine in the Bible. It is an eternal fact, clearly demonstrated on Calvary. God has said something to us, and God has done something to us to prove his love. But all of this is in preparation for the third great act. God does something in you. We are not merely students reading a book or a spectator watching a deeply moving event. We are participants in this great event of God's love. God chooses us to love others through us. That's an amazing fact. God wants this abounding love to become his abiding love in our lives. But how is this accomplished? By the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As I have already stated, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God has given us his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. God took up residence in our lives the moment we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, so that he could love us and love others through us. God has given us his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit is truly a spirit of love. This confidence is tranquil, it is peaceful, it's an assurance from God about his presence, Most of us fear the idea of being judged for fear of disapproval. But God's love gives us that confidence that everything will be well with our souls, because that's the assurance in Scripture. In conclusion, God expressed His love in giving. He sent His Son into the world. Verse 9 of chapter 4. God expressed His love in dying. He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice. Verse 10 of chapter 4. God expressed His love in forgiving us. The atoning sacrifice removes our sin so we can have confidence on the day of judgment. And that's verse 17. Finally, God expressed His love in blessing us. His love is made complete in us, according to verse 12. He has given us His Holy Spirit, verse 13, and He removes from us all fears. Amen. Bless you. Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for Your precious word. We thank You, Lord, for this amazing love. Lord, You did not wait for us to become perfect, but You accepted us the way we are. And You loved us. You said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished over You." We thank You. We thank You for the cross. We thank You for the forgiveness of sin, Lord. We thank You for eternal salvation. We bless You tonight, Lord. We pray for all those who are not here today, that You would bless them and keep them. And we pray for those who are here today, that You would bless them too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.